sisters, if that illustration don't work, nothing will. You got to be pulled away from that. But since we do not live in that African culture, because all of us are not from that culture, and I'm not even really from that culture, what must we do? I think that what we must do is we must look at breakaway part one, biblical style. Breakaway part one, biblical style. Now what I'd like you to do is to turn to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. I'm going to show you how it works. Luke chapter 2, we're going to start at verse 41. Luke chapter 2, beginning with verse 41 and verse 49, we're going to look at the life of a boy who becomes a man. Let me read the scriptures to you. And his parents used to go to Jerusalem every year at the feast of Passover. And when he, that is Jesus, became 12, they went up according to the custom of the feast. And as they were returning, after spending the full number of days, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, and his parents were not aware of it, but supposed that he would be in the caravan and went a few days' journey. And they began looking for him amongst their relatives and acquaintances. And when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem looking for him, and it came about that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him, that is Jesus, were amazed at his understanding and his answers. And when they saw him, they were astonished. And his mother, I find this very interesting, his mother said to him, now this is my transliteration, boy, why you treat me this way? Behold, me and your daddy, I've been anxiously looking for you. Verse 49. And he said to them, why is it that you are looking for me? Do you not know that I had to be in my father's house? Or in the King James, do you not know that I have to be about my father's business? The question is, what is happening in the life of our Lord as he moves from being a boy to becoming a man? Because that's a process that you see taking place. And I find it very indicative that we see Jesus doing this at 12, and in the African culture, the tribesmen did it to the boys at 12. But sometimes in the 12-year-old stage, males in this society don't get out of that mode because they don't know how to move away. I would say, first of all, we see Jesus is very young, but it's very important from age for moving away from his mom. He knew that it was important. He didn't think about, I know I got to be doing my father's business, but I got to check with my mama first. There comes a time, church, when you're going to find the boys moving away, even from some of you female parents, without telling you things. It is a natural progression that males go through. I would also have you understand that he is beginning to break the emotional ties with his mother in his very young age. This is a time to break those emotional ties. Ladies, you only have your sons for a few years. You daddies, when you have them, God bless you. You got them for a longer time, but that's all right. We're going to talk to you tonight about when they're going to break away from you to the mentor, because they're not going to stay with you because you can only take them so far. Also, we see Jesus headed in the direction now of his father as his eyes are fixed. How unique. He says, I must be in my father's house, not in yours. See, he's moving away from the female. I also see that he knows that he has to identify with his father from this day forward. He could not identify with Mary anymore. He could not say, I am the son of Mary. I got to go home to Mary's house. He had to break that identity from the mother and identify with his father. Because if you note, when you look at, I think I had it marked right here, I think verse 4. Yes, verse 4 of chapter 2. No. Don't go to verse 4. I went down too far. Don't go to verse 4. Don't go there. That was my mistake. Let me say this. This is a powerful statement. I moved down on my outline. In that, in a boy's life, the most powerful movement in the boy's life is when that boy, listen parents, when that boy understands that unconsciously there has to be a removal from his mother. Now, when he unconsciously moves from his mother, brothers, He has to move toward someone else. If there is no father there, he has to move towards a mentor. Men, you better get this. This is very important, but I'll get into that. I don't want to jump into the mentor thing. One that says that this breaking away represents a break with the emotional bond of Mary. That's what this breaking away represents, a break with the emotional bond with his mother, Mary. He was very adamant in his language. Now let's look at how to break away part two, biblical style. How to break away part two, biblical style. Scripture, John chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. There's where you get that verse 4. John chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. Okay, we're going to look at the life of a man who responds as a man. Most of you know this. John chapter 2 is the chapter where Jesus performs his first miracle. His mama is very much in charge until Jesus does it again. I'm going to read the verses. And on the third day there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. I want you ladies to pay attention. And Jesus also was invited and his disciples to the wedding. And when the wine gave out, the mother of Jesus said to him, this is my transliteration, boy, you know they ain't got nothing to drink. Now you got to look at that mentality here. Now look, and Jesus said to her, this is my transliteration, woman, when do you get off telling me what to do? It's not my time to move because you speak. Verse 5, and his mother said to the servant, my transliteration here, whatever he says to you, do it. Now you got to see what's taking place here. You better know that the Bible is a very human book. What do I see in these verses? The question is, what is further happening in the life of the Lord as he communicates effectively to those that he loves the most? He's grown up now. He's 30 years old. He ain't 12. Look at his mama. Still dibbling and dabbling. And Jesus says, woman, you better see the importance of this church. Because some of you grown women that got grown sons need to shut up and walk away. And you need to give them my phone number. And I'm going to bat their ears in. I'm going to make it real hard on them. And then when you get them back, you're going to have a man. Oh, don't go to him. He's just going to tell you this, and you know how he is. Brothers, that's dangerous. Now let's look at this thing here. What is further happening in the life of our Lord as he communicates effectively to those that he loves the most? We note that the Lord is now 30 years of age, and he's still listening to his mom. See, she hasn't stopped. I know something else. We know that his mother is still finding it difficult to what? To let go. She still don't want to let the man go. See, and that's what's hampering us in our society. That's all right, Alonzo. You know it's true. We also know something else. It appears that this woman, Mary, is yet desiring some kind of control. Why'd she do that? She got an invitation, and Jesus, by the way, was invited on the slide. So since I got the chief invitation, and since I'm your mama, and you know what they're saying about you because you ain't got no daddy and everything, and so I'm going to protect you now. I'm going to tell you what. No. We must consider that Jesus' answer is not so gentle. Now look at verse 4 again. His answer is not gentle. He said to her, woman, what do I have to do with you? My hour is not yet come. He said, woman, what? You don't tell me what to do. I'm a man. Shut up. Oh, I can't talk with my mother that way when I'm grown. I know, because you're a feminized male. You're a feminized male, and it hasn't come to you yet. Your own Savior talk like that. Why don't you talk like that? Oh, man, I don't think you should go to the vet. I think John's crazy. Yeah, man, you know, I never thought about that. He is a little strange. But you should say is you need to back up and learn how to grow up. Did I hear your pastor just slept with three women out there last week?
You want me to go there?
Because that ain't being no man, that's being a dog. All right, you're following along. My transliteration. Moms, I'm not your little boy. Don't be trying to tell me what to do. I'll let you know when I want to hear from your mama. Okay, so chill. That's when a boy becomes a man. The Lord is not speaking in a derogatory matter. Therefore, what's going on? See, he's not being derogatory here, brothers and sisters. You got to ask what's going on. He is defining the new parameters in which the relationship is now to be lived out. I'm defining some new parameters, mommy. It don't work that way no more. I'm a man. I got to be around a man. I got to do things rough, tough, and tactical. I don't want to be soft because this world ain't soft. This world's going to kick me, and I got to be ready for the kick so I can be hanging around folks that's going to hinder my growth. I know you love me. I need to get hurt. He also makes it perfectly clear that he is in control of his own life. He's saying, I'm in control of this thing here. You ain't. So stop trying to be in control. But I know in this politically correct society, we're not even to talk to our mothers that are overbearing now. I'm telling you, you've been duped. You have the word of God that told you how to be a man. He also allows his mother to know that manhood is not necessarily listening to mommy. Manhood is not necessarily always listening to mommy. If my mother was alive, I would listen to her. But then at the same time, I would listen very cautious to her because I'm looking at where I know God wants to take me. Let's come into the How to Break Away Part 3. How to Break Away Part 3, Biblical Style. Go with me to Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12, verses 46 through 49. Matthew chapter 12, verses 46 through 49. We're going to take a look in the life of a man who understood the limits of the wrong kinds of influence from his family. Here again, we see Jesus being a man. You brothers want to know what being a man is? The best place to go is to the Bible. Don't listen to Pastor John to give you his tainted opinion of what masculinity is. Let's read these verses right here and check it out. While he was still speaking to the multitudes, behold, who came? His mother, not only his mother, but his brothers were standing outside seeking to speak to him. Here he is, Sister Evans, in ministry. Mama standing outside. Look at verse 47. And someone said to him, and it's obvious that she's in a messenger in there. Someone said to him, behold, your mother and your brothers are standing outside seeking to speak to you. Verse 48. But he answered the one who was telling him and said, who is my mother? Who are my brothers? Now let me say, well, verse 49. And stretching out his hand towards his disciples, he said, behold, my mother, my brothers. But Jesus was the man. Jesus just cut off the whole blooming family. Man, Jesus said, what? Wait a minute. Wait, follow the outline, preacher. Don't go off on this. Now, the question is the journey from boyhood to manhood identified by a choice of person that calls himself a man? Well, the answer is no. The choice of manhood is made by who you choose to say is going to be your mother and your brothers and your mentor. No one dictates to a man what to do. A man says, oh, no, 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 while I'm doing my father's business, not even my mother can stop me from doing that. Now let's deal with this a little bit closer here. Mary and the other children knew that Jesus was in the house. They knew that the Lord was in the house, in there. It says that the Lord was in their ministry. Did not Mary know by this time that Jesus was indeed taking care of his father's business? What do you think? Well, yes, she knew. This man's in ministry now, taking care of his father's business. I know this is bothering some of you women because that's a problem in this society. You've been taught by your mothers that you're the matriarch, that you're in charge. And now you wonder why you can't find a strong man around, because your mothers and grandmothers have lied to you. Strong men have always been around. What you've got to do is treat them with dignity and respect and see the way the Lord dealt with strong men and what he was implying with everything that he did. You've got to stop listening to a society that don't know what a real man looks like. That's why men are in a tragic identity search these days. When you see a strong man, he's offensive to you because he knows what life is all about. And some weak thing is trying to find out how to wake up. Talking with my men Thursday, and I had a young 19-year-old in the study. He is a beautiful Hispanic young boy, and I was talking with my men, and I was talking about something. I forget what the subject matter was, but the illustration that I gave is that the more mature believer should always protect the younger. And I said that if I were in a restaurant and somebody came in with an Uzi and was just going to kill us all and we knew it, I said I would take Vicmar and just put his head in my chest and I'd just rub him and say, look, man, just do whatever you want to do with me, but put his right here quick. Take him out quick. And I'd whisper and kiss him on his neck and said, it's all right. It's going to be all right. That's a man. Now, if a man don't do that, he don't know how to be a man. Let me get back to this. My gosh, who was the person that she had sent in for him? I wonder, I often wondered about that. Why did she want him out of that house in the first place? Why would Mary want him out of there since he's doing his father's business and now she's saying, you come on out and do my business? You must understand that whenever it comes to the point where the mother is trying to influence the male, especially when he cannot do God's business, that she's doing some monkey business. Now, before you deitize Mary, that's why Mary is not in heaven, you know, mediating for your sins. See, she was a sinner just like you and me. So Mary's not up there, because if she was a blessed, holy, sweet virgin that never sinned, she would have never made this mistake. And I see her getting cracked on 3 times in the script thus far. So, I mean, hey, and her own boy is cracking on it. So there it is. I'm telling you that the Bible is a real book. You see, you got these folk in the Bible walking around here like they weren't like you. Oh, no, they got cracked on too, and Jesus cracked on his own mama. Somebody needs to say amen. There it is. All right. Do you think that her message to the Lord was subtle? No, I don't think so. I think when she said, go in there and tell him we out here. Tell him we out here. Tell him his brothers. I don't want to send James and Joseph in there for him now. Now I got his sisters in the back. Sisters, come on up here. Come on. You bring them whole cakes, Jesus like. Go in there, you know, put them out of the window. Let them smell them whole cakes. We got to get him out of there. He's been in there too long. Why are you talking about God and stuff? Joseph, where you at, Joseph? Come and get that boy. Joseph probably stood in the back and said, Mary, then leave that alone. You remember what that angel told you, girl? That boy don't belong to you. Ooh, we see Jesus clearly defining his mission. I see him now a man. This passage from mother to father may be the most difficult passage in manhood. It wasn't for Christ, but I'm going to tell you something. It is for us. It wasn't a difficult passage for Jesus because he knew what his father wanted him to do. Males, and I'm using this analogy, male does not know what the fathers want him to do because the fathers are gone. There are no fathers in the home. So since there's no fathers in the home, that's why the males are listening to the women and the males are becoming feminized males. All right. It may be difficult, but it is very essential for you to take this step in the process. Let me give you another quote. This quote says that when a mother's influence and control predominates a man's life, he will tend to look to mom and to other women to complete his development. Instead of the natural progression from mother to father, this individual moves from mother to wife. Now, when he moves from mother to wife and has not moved progressively into manhood, ladies, you married a boy. You have a man that is in body a man, but he is in mind a boy. He has not been properly tenured. He hasn't been properly mentored. He hasn't been properly taught, and you're dealing with a boy's mentality. So that's why all the fussing and the fighting and the confusion in the home is because you're dealing with a little boy who wants his mommy to give him the answer. The classic example is found in 1 Kings chapter 21. You can go there if you want to. I'm going to give you the story. It's King Ahab. 1 Kings 21, King Ahab. Naboth had that vineyard. Ahab wanted it. Naboth said, I'm not going to give it to you. Ahab goes home, gets on his bed, starts crying like a little boy. Jezebel, his wife, come in and said, why are you crying, big boy?
Naboth sold his vineyard. He told me, no, I can't. I'm the king.
Jezebel also said, that's all right, honey. I'm going to get it for you. Went down to the marketplace, lied on Naboth, lied on him and everything, had Naboth killed and everything else, had all the sons killed, walked in there, Ahab still in the bed crying, and Jezebel said, shut up, big boy, I got for nothing what you would have paid good money for. Tell me I'm your wife, I'm your mama, I'm your lover, I'm going to do it for you. Just come to mama, honey, and I'm going to fix it up. And that's just what some of you men are doing. Go to mama.
Hey, mama. Mama, she did that. Mama, she said that.
Mama, oh, that's all right. You come on by here. Mama going to make you some beans and cornbread. Mama going to make you some tamales. Mama knows she don't treat you right. Mama going to take care of you. Mama, you out of your mind. When he come there crying because Sapphire won't treat him right, close the door and say, get out. Get out of here. I cut them cards.
Oh, mama, I just want to eat some of them biscuits. I just want
to get out of here. And carry that mamahood over into wifehood. And then want your woman to treat you like your mama treated you. Oh, it's all in the Bible. I see it all around me. Yeah, yeah. In other words, Ahab was saying, my transliteration, you're going to make it right for me, baby. A man asking a woman to make it right for him. The only thing that you should have to ask for from a woman if you married is some sex. Yes, because sometimes they get an attitude and won't want to give that up. I'm just being practical as I possibly can. We're talking about strengthening family ties here. Because that cuts you off like the light company. And you know it ain't no light nowhere. Oh, yeah. I like that. In conclusion, lest I bore you with all this. In conclusion, there was an article in Parade magazine, and Parade magazine interviewed a very well-known movie star. His name is Burt Reynolds. I think all of us know of Burt Reynolds, and I'd like to share with you what he wrote in this magazine article as I conclude. In this article, he was describing incompleteness that he experienced at the hands of his father. And I'd like you to listen to this. I found this very interesting as I was researching and reading this week. And I'm quoting Burt. He says, my dad was the chief of police. And when he came into a room, all the light and the air went out of it. There is a saying in the South that no man is a man until his father tells him he is. Then Burt goes on and says, it means that someday when you are 30 or 40, grown up, that this man whom you respect and love and want to love you puts his arms around you and says, you know, you're a man now, and you don't have to do all those crazy things and get into fist fights and all of that to defend the honor of men. You're a man, and I love you. But then Bert says, but we never hugged, we never cried, we never said, I love you. And he completes in this article and says, so what happened later was, I was desperately looking for someone who'd say, you're grown up, and I appreciate and I love you, and you don't have to do these things anymore. But he says, I was lost inside, I couldn't connect. I was incomplete, and I didn't know what I needed to know. Brothers, that's most of us. It's most of us in this room, disconnected. You don't know what you need to know. The first step in biblical masculinity is breaking away from mama or mother or feminized mentality. Tonight, I'm going to talk about the father, breaking away from the father now, cleaving to a male mentor, because there's going to come a time when your daddy has gone so far in life, educational, any other kind of thing. He may not know a lot of things. You have to break off now from your father. Now, this offends daddies because daddy says, I fear that you have to tell my son what to do. Well, I say, you tell him. So there's a breaking off from the father into the mentor. And we're going to continue that discussion on into our Thursday night as we end up breaking off from the mentor into maturity in Christ as we have a vital relationship with Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for our time in the Word. And we indeed do thank you for this time to reflect upon this transition from becoming a boy to becoming a man. We would pray that you would continuously speak to our hearts and use these biblical illustrations to fulfill your will in our lives. We pray for these men in this room today, and we would pray that they would make a commitment to you in such a way that their lives may demonstrate that motion movement from the mother to the father. And Father, for those males in our church that do not have a father, may some of us men in this room who are mature enough understand the importance of mentoring and how we are to guide in that beloved process. Thank you for this time to speak with my brothers and sisters. Father, where this message was difficult for some of the ladies that have done their best to help their men, I ask you to touch their lives because they need to now say, I have to let go. And that is difficult for many wives even that have to say, Lord, you must take my man. I must release my man to another man that he may become enriched for this family unit. May it be that way. And then lastly, Father, may those that view at a later time, may they sense the need to do the same in their lives. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.